You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? This is the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Corey Friedman, Ryan Herrera, Cody Stuckmeyer.
There it is. Luke Domendo.
How'd I do? Grade me again. Here we go.
That was good. Solid B+.
Was it better than last time?
That was
good.
It was better than last time.
Oh, yes. We're improving.
You're really morphing into
your job is it's in jeopardy, Luke. It's in jeopardy, Luke.
Practice makes perfect.
Thank you. Welcome everyone. Luke, everyone say in the chat should tell Luke to feel better. He is not feeling well. That is why I'm being Cody Stuckmeyer today.
Feel better, Luke.
Love you, Luke.
Yeah, but you know Luke's out, but Corey's here at Corey_Cubs. Shout out to you. Back from LA. Ryan, obviously.
Of course.
Right here. Ryan_A_Herrera, and I am Cody_CHGO. We got a lot to talk about today. There's a lot of baseball news, which is great because, you know, October was just a brutal, brutal time for me, and I'm happy to have things to talk about. So, shall we start with, you know, the thing everyone's kind of talking about with Seiya and Kodai Senga?
Sure. Yes, that is, we can start out with that. That was fun to read about. Also kind of like expected it a little bit.
Yeah.
Knowing that Seiya, obviously from Japan, has talked to other players about how much they like being on the Cubs and being in Chicago. Surprise me too much that he would obviously try to get another Japanese player coming over to America to be interested in the Cubs. That wasn't surprising, but because that came out of Gordon Whitmire, NBC Sports Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Gordon. Yeah,
his article caught up with the agent that I guess represents them both, Joel Wolf. Basically was saying that Say has been part of the recruiting party a little bit for Kodai Senga. And we've heard the name. We've heard him connected to the Cubs kind of all offseason, or at least the last couple months as far as, like, when the Cubs go in and target their pitching, free agents and stuff like that, who they might go get. And we know Senga's been a part of that. It's clearly a good thing that Seiya Suzuki is out here recruiting another Japanese player that has, you know, good upside, and there's good things about him.
And this one feels like, I mean, you never know how this stuff goes, especially when the guy who's going to have to move over to a different country and everything. But this feels like he's going to be a Cub. Like, I feel like we're talking about him a lot because there's a lot of smoke here. Mm-hmm. It makes all the sense in the world for the Cubs. And I like the move if they can do it quickly, which it seems like maybe it's a process that gets wrapped up quickly just with the way it's being talked about. That sets a really nice kind of pace for Jed Hoyer. Mm-hmm. You improve the rotation. You raise that floor a little bit, and then if you still want to go after someone like Verlander or DeGrom or pursue a trade, you know, Pablo Lopez is coming up. We'll talk about that in a bit. You can still do that, but you've already at least made the rotation better.
Right.
And it's, you know, also like it's always good that the Cubs seem to be thought of and talked of favorably in these conversations, right? Like, obviously, Seiya chose to come to the Cubs. Mark Stroman chose to come to the Cubs. the discussion with Senga also kind of centers around, like, good things about the Cubs. Like, we want it to be that way, right? Like, rather than say a saying, you
know,
it's not
so great. Well, you want it to be a free agent destination for sure.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right.
I, you know, you kind of hit it on the head for me, Corey, with, you know, I said yesterday, it's like the Cubs need to come out and set the tone. Like, not just in-game, but in the offseason as well. Like, set the tone of the offseason and help the fan base, you know, feel confident that they're actually going to make significant changes to the roster, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone kind of, at least the talking heads, not just us talking heads, but other talking heads believe that Senga's more of a, you know, middle-of-the-rotation type guy.
Yeah, three guy, number three, right? Maybe.
And, you know, that's one need the Cubs have, because you got Stroh, you got Justin Steele coming off a great season. You know, Kyle Hendricks is going to come back, but you don't know what you're going to get, but you know he's going to be in that rotation just based off the experience and the respect that he has gained from the organization and mm-hmm. the fans and all that. Drew Smyly, possibly. But either way, like, Senga kind of would be inserted right there in the middle of the rotation. You still need a number one guy, but if they make a move to get him, you know, within the next couple weeks or whatever, tomorrow, they can't do it tomorrow.
No, right? But
Friday, whatever. It would be a big way to set the tone to at least give the fan base some optimism and believe that they're going to make some serious changes. So, I love to see that Seiya is out there, you know, trying to, you know, do things, mm-hmm. You know, convince guys. I do think that the Cubs having that, you know, that insert into, you know, guys from Japan, having that as an asset. I think, you know, we've talked about when Seiya came over, like, you know, his whole adjustment to living in America and, like, moving all the way so far away. And I think that does play a role for Senga in terms of, well, at least when he comes here, at least he'll know one guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that was the thing is, like, you have so many Latin American players, on the Cubs especially, so, like, guys coming over, guys coming up. Like, they've all kind of been through that same process. That's why, like, Christopher Morel and Nelson Velasquez were so drawn to Wilson Contreras, because he'd been through the same things that they had been through growing up and getting into baseball. Whereas when Seiya came over, there were no other Japanese players on the Cubs. You had, you know, Yu Darvish was in San Diego at that point. You know, Shohei Ohtani's in L.A. There are Japanese players, but there was no one on the Cubs that went through what Seiya was going through when he first came over to Chicago. And that obviously then did not aid in his adjusting to American life. Like, he had, I'm not gonna say he had to do it on his own, because the Cubs do have people that can help. I know, like, Nao Masumoto is one of those people that would help Seiya acclimate to American culture, but he didn't have, like, someone specifically in his position to help him do that. But he's done that, and now if Senga comes over and looks at the Cubs, Seiya is someone that is literally would have been in his shoes the year prior, learning about Chicago, learning about the Cubs, learning about America in general, and how to acclimate, and can actually give him that firsthand advice of, hey, like, if you want to be a Cub, this is what I did. This is how, you know, I got myself acclimated here. I got myself ready to go and play baseball here, and different things in that direction. And I think that is a good recruiting tool for a guy like Kodai Senga, because he has someone on the Cubs that already went through it, what he's going to be going through the next year.
Yeah, I like Mike Dubb's comment. He says, give me the samurai Cubs. Bring Senga to the Cubs. I like that. Steven also in the chat says, as a Japanese-American, I've been following the latest news, and even Japanese media is reporting the Cubs are among the front-runners for Kodai Senga, which we've talked about that before. I know the Red Sox are also in play for that, and they've gone and got Japanese pitchers before in the past, so that wouldn't surprise me as well, and the Red Sox, I think, need some pitching. So I do think, though, having Suzuki is a bonus or a plus for the Cubs in terms of if it comes down to them and the Red Sox, you know. And also the Red Sox, like, they have their own issues with trying to pay some of their own players right now. I would say that Senga isn't at the top of their list of priorities. So I think that depends on how long Senga wants to wait this out and just get it done and over with, you know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to follow along here over the next few days, because again, it's to me, it's very important that the Cubs get out high here and make a move. It doesn't have to be the Correa yet. It can just be something that, like I said, gives us some optimism.
Well, I think it doesn't have to be Senga, but, you know, we will talk about, you know, potential trades, but even, you know, obviously we've talked about, like, Davis and Canario and how those injuries affect Jed's ability maybe to make trades or their willingness to make trades if the system is in flux, I guess, at the moment. And even if you look at someone like Pablo Lopez, who we'll talk about, or anybody else that might be available, sometimes trades fall through, right? Like, or you don't get the right offer, or a team asks for too much. Like, I think the thing with Senga or anybody that the Cubs are able to sign kind of quickly that gives them a long-term player in this rotation, it helps remove some of those variables, right? If you want to go after Verlander, DeGrom, fine. Those guys are older. They've got injury things. They might cost a ton of money. You know, you never know how that might work out, even on a short-term deal. If Jed can address the rotation quickly, like I said, raise that floor a little bit, it just gives you a little bit of, like, breathing room for the uncertainty of the rest of the offseason, right? Yeah, if everything goes Jed's way, great. Right, then maybe his best laid plan involves Senga and DeGrom and it making a trade, whatever, right? Yeah. But sometimes that's tough to execute. Like, if you can get one thing done, set the pace, like you said, Cody, I think that puts the Cubs in a good position here.
Yeah, that Steven in the chat also mentions, keep in mind both Senga and Suzuki will play in the World Baseball Classic for the Japanese national team and will miss time during spring training. That probably plays a factor in some way. I don't know how, you know, the front office views that. If that, that's probably not like a deal killer in any sense of the term. But also, I mean, Seiya had missed basically 100 days of his own offseason last year because of the lockout and wasn't able to come to America and get acclimated that way. So I think you'd trade most of an offseason for Kodai Senga. To miss a couple weeks in spring training. I think you'd make that trade if you're really interested in getting him on your team.
Resident buzzkill guy, Michael Collada, shout out to you, man. He says, watching MLB Network, they never mention Cubs being heavily involved in anyone. They must know Ricketts. Well, Michael.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
That's not true over the last 24 hours because John Morosi was on MLB Network yesterday and he, of course, mentioned Carlos Correa and the Cubs.
He said we're going to be talking about that a lot.
Kevin, do you have – I sent the quote in Slack. Do you have that as a graphic, or I can just read it?
The which
the,
tweet
the
was
Morosi,
this?
The John Morosi.
It wasn't a tweet. It was quote. It was
and
just
I think
a quote.
That, you know, Michael Collada probably knows that the Cubs installed new energy-efficient lights yesterday at Wrigley Field. So I don't know how much – that probably cost a lot of money, but how much are they saving with those energy-efficient lights? Mm-hmm. The
it's
Ricketts
right
are going to have to budget
also,
their money.
Go ahead and read it. I have the Wilson tweet.
I was going to say, looking at that real quick.
You're good.
That terrifies me. Getting flown in on a helicopter to go on that little thing and put up. I don't like heights, and so that. Just thinking about that terrifies the hell out of me.
I thought I heard that they were going to move the press box up onto the roof. You're not down for that?
Seeing the helicopter and all that, yeah. We watched that video yesterday that Luke made us endure, like, just anything with heights I just can't do. Anyway, I have the quote here.
Can barely do the giant drop at six
from John Morosi. And he said yesterday on MLB Network, Correa's overall market value is back to being roughly where it was a year ago. And I look at a team like the Cubs, they've always been linked to him in the past a lot. I think the Cubs and Correa will be one of those pairs we'll probably talk about for weeks to come. Listen, we can sit here and I can, you know, get excited and that's one thing I can do. I can get excited about that quote and I can also, you know, remain calm, all right? I'm choosing to get excited about it. All right.
Me too.
Especially coming from a guy like John Morosi, who's very respected in the industry. So, again, I don't think it's going to – I think these free agent shortstops are going to take a while. I don't think we're going to be wondering who's going where in January or February, but I do think that this is a play out through the month of November and December type situation. The first one off the board will set the market, and we'll go from there. But I just – it's nice to hear that that's a thing still.
I have said since we were kind of gearing up for this offseason, I think he's the guy. How I rank all those guys and my preferences, I waver every day, but I just think Correa's the guy. It's going to be interesting because there's clearly interest on both parties, but this is going to be a little bit of a test, I think, of Jed's either savvy or willingness to bend, right? Because he's either, Correa did not get the deal he wanted last year. He wants a long-term deal. That's why he's opting out. He could have made a lot of money for one more year with the Twins. He wants the long-term deal. Jed doesn't like those. We know that. Right. Even though Correa's, even though Correa's on the younger side of this group and like relative to a lot of when guys hit free agency, this is going to be a test of is Jed willing to get the player and give him the deal he has to give him to get the player, or can he convince Correa to take something creative that raises the, you know, the AAV through the roof for 5 years or something, maybe has some escalators or options, whatever, and is Correa interested in that at all? But as we do, I talked a lot, I think, in last year's offseason, I get the aversion to the long-term deal, right? I don't even really have a problem with it. But sometimes, if you want the player, you have to give them the contract that they want or somebody else, or Carlos Correa goes to Minnesota, right? That's just how it is. So I think that's going to be true of any of these shortstops. You're probably going to have to be a little uncomfortable with what you end up giving them. But if you want power, you want a shortstop, you want this kind of elite talent.
And someone who plays shortstop, you got to make the move very well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been saying, like, if I were the Cubs, top of my wish list would be Correa. And I get why other people want Turner or Bogarts or even Dansby Swanson. I get all that. And at this point, it's kind of like you don't really have a true clue of which one the Cubs prefer. I think we're kind of basing it on our own preferences of who the Cubs should be after. But wherever the Cubs are at right now probably isn't as clear as we'd like it to be. I was just thinking about this. Honestly, I was thinking about this in the elevator coming up to the office earlier. Just like a deal like what Correa's getting would probably remind me of a Jason Hayward type deal where you got a guy 27, 28 years old, should be entering his prime. And I mean, from what I've seen, it could be around 8 years for Correa, which is what Hayward got. And yes, you're paying him for past production, which is not the, you know, my favorite thing to do. But you're also paying him because he's younger. He's not 32, 33. Like, he's younger. He has prime years left. And
Correa also has had really good consecutive seasons through like his tenure with the Astros.
Well, so what, Hayward, what I was saying was that had Hayward, so Hayward had the 8 year contract. It was going to get released, so it's technically seven. Had Hayward had four all-star level seasons and then kind of tapered off and by the end of it was bad, probably be less pissed about it, right? As Cubs fans, we probably would be less pissed about it because he gave you four. He lived up to the deal for at least four seasons, right?
Right.
I feel like the same thing goes with Correa. Say you give him an 8 year contract and, you know, the back half of it isn't as good as you want, but those first four seasons, even maybe five, are like really, really good all-star level, like leading the charge of the playoff type seasons, but then the back three aren't as good and he's still getting paid a lot of money. Is that really going to, he would have lived up to the contract at that point. He would have, at that point, earned more than what he actually made early on, that he's probably, even if he's making more than he's worth later on in the contract, it evens out. And so I think if that's the type of contract that you're looking at for Correa, as long as he's giving you a good, really good first half of that contract, the back half it might sting to eat money when he's maybe, you know, going, he's tapering off in the back end of his career. Maybe not. I'm just kind of saying that just based you know, how veterans work. But I think you do that contract just because he's younger, has had a lot of success, and if his prime years are right in the middle of what you hope would be a contention window.
And I think you're discussing kind of what Jed's trepidation is with these long-term deals. And I'm with you. Like, you would be paying, you know, it's like people talked about this when John Lester signed. right? Like, you signed him to a particular deal, and he ended up being quite good for pretty much the entirety of it. It was really like that, maybe like the last bit in 2020 that he struggled in a few of those COVID season starts. But don't let me start on how valuable John Lester was. But like the point being, though, like even though he was good past that, you brought in John Lester to win the World Series and for the beginning of that contract, and you didn't really care after that. He ended up being good, but you brought him in to win. You did. Cool. The contract's worth it. Over. Done with. Yeah. Doesn't matter what happens in 2017 or 2018. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He did exactly what you brought him in to do, and I think that would be the same with someone like Correa. Absolutely. He has a long track record of being a very, very good hitter. Yes. Even if his offense tapers off as he gets older, you can probably move him to third base, I would guess. He's a good defender. He's a good athlete. He should not be like, you know, he's not going to be like a black hole.
Yeah.
Even if he's 34 or 35,
that's what we've said,
right?
Is the body type and the ability that he has would translate well to being an older third, like when he goes to third base older or later on in his career. Like it should translate and not become a black hole, as you said.
We've seen some comments, or I'm seeing some comments about,
sorry,
you know,
I ruined your day, Michael.
Everyone, there's people, there's the Trey Turner stance, and I, you know, I get it. Trey Turner, I've seen that viral picture of him in the Wrigleyville jersey. Like,
he does look good.
He does look like my favorite player of the future. When I see that picture, I will say I was reading a John Heyman written article where he like predicted where free agents would go. He had no insight to it. It was just his prediction. He basically said about Trey Turner that the Cubs are a place that he thinks would play. So we haven't got a quote from like John Morosi or Rosenthal saying that Trey Turner is the guy, but I do think that the Cubs value Trey Turner as well, just as much as they do Carlos Correa. Again, we're in the first week of the off season. I think that we're gonna hear more rumors. We're gonna hear that we're all going to overreact to and all of that. But I said it yesterday. I don't care who it is. Just give me someone. But I would gladly take Correa over all of them just based off the youth and defensive versatility. And, you know, again, I said it yesterday as well. A lot of people don't like the guy because he was on the cheating Astros or whatever, but the guy stuck up for all his teammates during that. And if you're an Astros fan at that time, you love that. Because he took a lot of heat. He took probably the most heat of anyone from that team.
And he ate it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He still went out there and performed. So to me, that's someone that's built different. And I will gladly take someone like that on my team.
It's also a good point from Joe in the chat, just kind of about the structuring of the contracts. Like, the Cubs probably did want Jason Hayward to play well enough that he opted out, and that didn't, and you were kind of getting to that. Like, if he had played well enough in the beginning, like, that's either he opts out or you don't care if he's just a defensive guy later in the
thing.
And
then we're yelling about if the Cubs should have kept him or not. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It just was what it was. You know, Correa's track record as a hitter is not comparable to Hayward's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not comparing them. It's just, that's the most recent example of a big contract and kind of the why of this is why the Cubs seem kind of scared to do this again. Yeah. And what the potential downside is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you got to spend money to make money and to win. And to your point, I've said this before. I do not – if the Cubs are the bad guys, they get Carlos Correa and he's talking trash, I don't care. I don't want them to cheat.
Yeah. We will all –
if they win and cheat, though, I care? Like, I don't know. Maybe I don't care.
We will all stand him the moment someone talks trash to him or about the team and he says something to, you know, defend his guys. Yes. Like, that's just how fans work. That's how
when he says something to Ryan in the clubhouse – that just gets us all going. We're going to be the biggest Carlos Correa fans there are.
Absolutely.
No, so, I don't know. You were just talking about it, Corey, and as far as, like, the trepidation with contracts. This was Jed's exact quote from his end-of-season press conference about a month ago now. He was asked about intelligent spending, but he said, to me, intelligent spending involves making decisions that make sense for the 2023 season but also aren't going to hinder what we're trying to build. The nature of baseball contracts is challenging that way because we've all seen contracts of certain lengths that can really bog a team down. It's easy to talk about the player you're acquiring, but if that contract ends up hindering the ultimate goal here, which is to build something special and sustainable and lasting, then it wasn't a good transaction.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly, like, one of those contracts that bogged the team down was Jason Hayward's contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's also because he didn't live up to it in any of the first few years that he had. Like, his best season was probably 2020.
Yeah, he had one of the worst years of his career the year the Cubs won the World Series. Yeah. And if the Cubs didn't win the World Series that year, there would have been so much more pressure on Hayward to even do anything.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I see, like, 77 people in the chat right now. Shout out to you, but I think we only have, like, 13 likes.
Yeah, so 15 likes. Huh?
15 likes. More. We like that. I don't like that ratio. We need more likes. So hit that like button for us.
I expect a better like number when I'm in the studio.
Absolutely. You know, anytime Corey's here, we should have at least 100 likes by the end of the show.
Yeah,
100. Not that many people like me, I'm sure.
We're talking about money and all that. I saw another tweet from Morosi saying that the Tigers are interested in or could be interested in a guy like Wilson Contreras. We've talked.
Bears fan man like asked what the Cubs' plans are at catcher as well.
Yes.
So that kind of goes in with that.
He sent multiple tweets related to catcher. Morosi did. He said the one that's up on the screen right now. Tigers are looking at the catching market as the offseason begins. They're interested in free agent Wilson Contreras, whom Scott Harris knows from his tenure in Chicago. Would be a reuniting with Javi Baez. Mm-hmm. I guess the Tigers would become my new favorite team in the AL for a little bit. But he also sent out a tweet this morning, Morosi, saying the Blue Jays are expected to trade for a catcher this offseason, or trade a catcher this offseason, according to multiple rival execs. Mm-hmm. He's spoken with at the GM meetings. The Jays have an abundance of talent at the position. Danny Jansen, Alejandro Kirk, and Gabriel Moreno. So that poses the idea of maybe the Cubs go that route in terms of filling that hole of losing Contreras. Again, we've talked about it at ends about how I feel about Contreras coming back. You guys have as well. It just feels like it's something that's definitely going to happen at this point after the Cubs extend the qualifying offer. How are we feeling about this?
Anybody that is not the St. Louis Cardinals, go ahead and sign Wilson Contreras. I've resigned myself to what the Cubs are doing. We've spent, I mean, since the trade deadline, talking about the logic and or lack thereof, whichever you end up feeling. But the connection of the Cardinals, the constant tweets about how they need a catcher with, Yadi retiring, and anybody in the league except the Cardinals that wants to sign Wilson Contreras, go for it. I wish him well. Enjoy your money. You've earned it. Just please don't get it from St. Louis. That's it. I don't care.
What if he went to Milwaukee out of nowhere?
Well, them too. You know, come on.
They hate him up there. I don't think he's going to Milwaukee.
No, he's not. They literally hate him.
They would be hating their own player.
Milwaukee, I'm not. Like, they have a very weird roster situation, and I think that team is going to end up getting worse.
They can't afford it.
Even if he went there, I'm less worried about, like, the Cardinals are in a better position.
Absolutely.
And if he goes there, the threat of them winning with him is very high. It doesn't feel as high with Milwaukee. So that's the number one.
Yeah. So with all this Wilson Contreras stuff, just as far as background goes, we know that the Cubs are extending the qualifying offer. What is it, like 19-point-something million is what the contract offer is supposed to be, or the qualifying offer is supposed to be. So that would be between 19 and 20. I don't remember the exact number. 1 year contract. Cubs are going to offer it to him. And it all really depends. Like, if Wilson feels out his market and then decides, like, because I want to say it's within 10 days or within 5 days or something like that they have to accept or reject the qualifying offer. Mm-hmm. So you would have to get a pretty good feel of it pretty quickly. But there's definitely a shot that he feels out his market. Right off the bat, it's not what he wants it to be. He decides to take that qualifying offer, maybe bet on himself for one more year or, you know, whatever it is, maybe even see about getting – I don't know. I don't know what it would take for him to accept it, but there's definitely a scenario in that sense. So as far as – again, Bears fan man's question goes, what the Cubs' plans at catcher, it still kind of comes down to whatever Wilson Contreras does.
Right.
because mm-hmm. if they, you know, if he accepts a qualifying offer and that, and then comes back next year, the Cubs aren't going to go out and get a fourth catcher. Like, right. they're going to have him, Yan Gomes, and PJ Higgins again, and then they may just do the same setup for one more year.
The entire thing with Contreras and how, like, his market, it's going to be, like, it's going to be one of the more fascinating things that we watch this offseason at this point, because, like, you know, there's some people that think that he's going to get somewhere between, you know, the Yasmani Grandal and Real Muto contract, somewhere around that, I think. And then, you know, I think that he'd be better off taking a shorter term deal, like a 2 or 3 year deal, or take that qualifying offer. He's going to make like $19 million next year. It's going to be very interesting to watch play out. And like, I couldn't tell you, like, a lot, like, everyone's just been checking the box that he's going to go to the Cardinals. And like, I just don't believe it. I just do not think that's a Cardinals move. That is the least likely destination, even though to me, at least, compared to what I've seen that organization do over the years, I just do not see it happening. So to see that the Tigers are interested in him,
I mean, that doesn't makes surprise sense. Me. With Scott yeah. Harris as the new GM, I think mm-hmm. the GM is his official title, Scott Harris.
I can't remember, but
if
he's on
him
top.
Or like a yeah. president yeah. or yeah. whatever, whichever is the top.
And they
got it.
And the Tigers, they need to do something because they spent a lot of money last offseason and then still were really bad.
They were really, really bad.
Going with the, we're just going to build like the aging ex-Cubs is yeah. an interesting strategy.
Yeah, right. Their young guys were really hurt last year, too, though.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
For the Cubs, I think their preferred route is what we've talked about, where I think they would like to be kind of where the Astros just were,
yeah.
where it's about the pitching staff more than anything, right? You watch those World Series games, and, like, I think Maldonado had an RBI or two, right, like with a bleeding ground ball through the infield.
What's happening over there? I think I just saw
I think
Karm.
We're doing a TikTok.
Karm was just twerking over there. Yeah. So, Karm, were you twerking
TikTok's
over there?
Being filmed.
He can't hear me. He's not okay, listening. Sorry, go ahead. I
know that. Trust me, a TikTok being filmed is much more interesting
I got distracted.
Than me. But, like, you saw it with the Astros. Like, they have Maldonado back there. They traded for Christian Vasquez, but, like, they want guys that control the pitching yep. staff. That is the number one priority. If they literally don't get a hit all year, they don't care, right? That's what Yordan Alvarez is for. He's the one that hits the bombs. Pain, like, don't worry about Martin Maldonado. And so I think that's the preference. I think they'd like to pair someone with Yan Gomes who can kind of make that happen. Everybody loved Yan Gomes. But you're right, Cody. Like, if Wilson accepts the QO, which, you know, maybe that's possible. I think it's unlikely, but you never, like, this stuff plays out in weird ways. Like,
To wrap this one up, I would absolutely love if Alejandro Kirk somehow became a Cub, because that guy is a vibe. He is everything that, like, I wish I could have been. He is like a refrigerator that runs.
He is
a king for the short kings and for the units out there. All right, I would absolutely love for Alejandro Kirk to become a Cub,
short
but
kings,
I think the Jays are probably going to keep him because he was really good for them this year.
He was great.
I don't know a ton about Danny Jansen or the other guy, but
Danny Jansen was a good hitter, but in a lot fewer plate appearances than Kirk played.
I think Kirk is the one that they're going to keep. But like,
I would think so. He was really good. And did you guys see that? Remember that tweet maybe a month or so ago? It was when the Blue Jays are still in the postseason, and some guy is like, it was a picture of Alejandro Kirk, and like, we shouldn't be promoting Alejandro Kirk.
That guy ended up having to delete his Twitter account because
he
got ratio.
Oh my god, it was
cooked.
So bad. But I'm like,
he got cooked.
He kind of deserved that cooked. One. Like, what the hell?
Rest in peace to that guy.
What was that? R.I.P. in peace.
You know, Alejandro Kirk, though, I bet he loves meat sticks.
I bet he does.
He has to. I would think so. Everyone does, though.
Right.
Everyone loves meat sticks.
You know what I mean?
I do have that's a good segue.
Yeah. I was trying to set you up.
No, I got it. Okay. But I got it, and not to break the fourth wall, but I'm going to compliment you on your Luke-like ability to naturally transition us. But
Telemetrics Nation, baby.
Telemetrics. Since, what was that, June 17th?
May 17th.
I don't want to cut you off a month. But yes, we do want to talk to you about Green Ridge Farms. It is a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. Makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and the aforementioned famous meat sticks that are perfect for tailgating happy hour, and school lunches. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours, 16 grams of protein per stick. Make a perfect post-workout snack. The sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. If you have not been to one of the CHGO Bears tailgates, they have Green Ridge Farms at the tailgates. We've got another one coming up on Sunday.
Yes.
I'm going to be making my tailgate debut.
Ooh.
Chicago, you know, pre-gaming for the Bears, have some drinks, some Green Ridge Farms meats. What beats it?
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome last Sunday.
You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. Right now, when you order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free. Use code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. Don't forget that code CHGO at tailgate. Checkout. Sorry, I read the tailgate thing on the screen. I'm like Anchorman. If you put it on the screen, I will read it.
Right. And then when you're at the tailgate, you can, you know, hang out, and then you can pull up game time.
Yeah, yeah. So tailgate, November 13th, starts at 8:30. That's this Sunday. Bears host the Lions. Same place. Was it Roosevelt and Madison?
Michigan.
Roosevelt, Michigan. There you go. Yeah, Madison. That doesn't make any sense. Roosevelt, Michigan. Not too far of a walk from Soldier Field. So, if you're interested in going to the game after the tailgate, just download Game Time. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert? It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Bears games, Bulls games. Hell, you go to Sloan Park for spring training in March. You need one of those. You won't find a better deal this season. It's created by fans, for the fans. It guarantees the lowest price. And if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description that's either on YouTube or if you're listening on the podcast, go to the episode. The link is in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events.
I do want to answer Koopa Scoop in the chat. Are they at Jewel Osco? Yes. Green Ridge Farm is at
Jewel
Osco locations.
Jewels,
yes. They are
the
at the Jewels.
Oh, yes.
They are at the Jewels.
Mike Dubb says it best. Meat sticks for all. Oh, Garrett Johnson, too. All
he also
meat
says,
stick.
Eat a Green Ridge Farm meat stick while placing a bet on DraftKings.
Oh,
that's my favorite thing to do. I was doing that at the tailgate on Sunday.
That's what he does. He wakes up in the morning, unwraps his Green Ridge Farm meat stick, and opens his favorite bread.
In bed.
I'm eating a meat stick in bed while I'm placing a wager on something. This morning, I was placing a wager on Ball State to cover 11 tonight. Let's get some action tonight, baby. I'm excited. Anyway, shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit that like button, especially for this next one, which we kind of hinted we're going to talk about. So we were at the end of yesterday's show, we were like, oh, we're going to talk about Ohtani and the trade possibilities, because there was a story out of the Athletic that had some like ideas for certain teams, and there was one listed for the Cubs. But then I think like not even 3 hours, maybe it was like an hour or two later, the GM for the Angels just publicly came out and said, we're not trading Ohtani, which we'll see. I still don't like my, you know, put the old conspiracy hat on and, you know, maybe the little tinfoil hat at the same time. I don't know if I believe it, but he said that they're not going to trade for Ohtani. But I think it was Heyman who tweeted it. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Said that Pablo Lopez is popular in trade talk right now. So obviously we were talking about a pitcher earlier. Pablo Lopez is, you know, the Marlins need bats, and that's why, Pablo Lopez is out there as a trade target. How do we feel about Pablo Lopez? Should he be a Cub?
I'm into it. I mean, I think he kind of fits at least some of what they're looking for. He's 26 mm-hmm. years old. They'd have him till at least 2025 before he's a free agent. You know, set a career high in innings last year with the Marlins at 180 even. But he's been quite good for a few years now, going back to, you know, the shortened season in 2020, a 3.6 ERA, 3.07 the year following, 3.75 last year, with pretty close FIPs. So, you know, you're not feeling like he's getting lucky or, you know, bailed out by the defense or anything like that. So, you know, he's, I don't think he's going to be that ace that potentially they're looking for. But at 26, he gives you a long-term option, some stability. You know, made 32 starts last year, 20 the year before. I would, to me, you know, it would depend on the price, right? Which I think is going to be the thing with any of this. But, you know, he fits a lot of what you're looking for outside of being a clear, like, number one ace type pitcher.
Yeah, and he's arbitration eligible for the next two seasons. I think this season, I was looking at Spotrac. It has his estimated salary $6,285,987, which is not bad for if I think he's a guy that could be at worst like your number three starter. So if you throw him in a three with right now Stroman and Justin Steele, that's good. Obviously the Cubs are, you know, it's probably still expected to chase after one of those higher end starting pitchers, Carlos Rodon maybe, what have you. I still think DeGrom is a long shot, but I'm gonna let you keep dreaming about it.
Don't let me talk myself into it.
But Pablo Lopez, he fits in too. I mean, you know, Jed Hoyer talks about going out and get quality innings, you know, guys that you know can go out there and give you innings every game. I mean, Pablo Lopez started 32 games this past season. I forgot what the innings are, 180 innings, which, you know, old days wouldn't be that, wouldn't sound like that much, but that was actually a pretty good amount of innings this season, especially coming off the short spring training. I like Pablo Lopez. I think he is a good pitcher. I think he fits in well with what the Cubs are trying to build, especially on that pitching staff. Maybe you'd want a little bit more. He does kind of strike me as another like soft contact kind of guy. So maybe you want a little more
sitting like lowish mid, you know, 93-ish, I think, so with like his pitches.
The Cubs do have a lot of those guys. So any other pitchers they go get, you want them to have the velocity that guys like Kyle Hendricks doesn't have, Marcus Stroman doesn't have. You don't want to build up too many of those guys. Kevin, I don't know if you got that tweet pulled up. Greg Zumach. Tweeted this out earlier.
He was on our show last week
regarding Pablo Lopez. I had sent it in Slack. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's fine. I'll read it out. So this was a sort of trade proposal that Greg put out there. So he said, I've asked someone that is pretty clued in and follows the Miami Marlins about Pablo Lopez's trade value, and we settled on Pablo Lopez for Keegan Thompson, Christopher Morel, and Yohendrick Pinango. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, Keegan Thompson and Christopher Morel, I think that their value is as high as it's ever going to be right now. And you're getting a 26-year-old starter, proven starter. That said, though, like, after everything you guys just said, and I don't really know a ton about the guy, we're using Delmetric's thoughts here right now. I feel like just signing Senga sounds like the better idea. Because you haven't convinced me that he can be a top number one top of the rotation guy, and if you sign Senga, then you know some people in the chat are saying wait for Ohtani or you know someone else. I don't know. Like I don't want to give up Keegan Thompson and Christopher Morel for a guy who's going to be at best your number two. That's the way that you guys have kind of talked me or not talked me into it, but just explained it to me because. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know a ton about Pablo Lopez. I remember the Marlins coming to Wrigley. I'm pretty sure he pitched one of those games, and I'm pretty sure he had a good outing. But is he a number one? Is he a number one? I don't know.
Probably not. But you also think that Kodai Senga is not projected to be number one. I think he's like a mid-rotation at best.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
But he's also – he's coming over from Japan. Like, he has no proven track record in the majors. And we know how tough it can be. We know that guys that come over – can you'll never really have much success in the major leagues. Okay. I'm not saying that he won't. I'm just saying that you know that's also a risk as well versus trading. You know, Keegan Thompson is tough to give up. I think out of the three is the toughest one to give up because I think he does still have starter potential.
I feel worse about Morel.
I think
in reading it, I feel worse about giving up Morel.
I think Keegan does have more starter potential, but the way the game is going, he could be elite at the whole multi-inning reliever thing. He could be the best multi-inning reliever in baseball because he was dominant in that role this year, and he's still growing. So I think for me, that's the toughest one to give up. But Pablo Lopez strikes me as a guy that I would have to look more in the numbers to know really whether that is what, like, whether the Cubs win or lose that trade. Feels like it's pretty even to me. But you would have to
imagine Morel and Jazz Chisholm on the team.
The vibes are good.
They would be the most vibey team in baseball.
The thing about Lopez that I think you'd have to bake in here, right, is that he's only 26. He'll be 27 in March. So next year will be a full season at age 27. And maybe this gives you pause, I don't know. But last year is the first year he gets over 30 starts, first year he gets over, you know, into 180 innings. But at the same time, though, does that kind of increase your curiosity of, okay, maybe he's still growing as a pitcher?
Fair.
And so I don't know that he has the stuff to be an ace or a number one, but you are potentially acquiring a 27-year-old who is – you know, has the potential to blossom still, if you will. Like, I don't think we're looking at a final product, and we also are big believers in the Tommy Hotovy, Craig Breslow infrastructure there. Yeah. Maybe they've got stuff up their sleeve for Pablo Lopez that the Marlins haven't tapped into yet.
He is also a year younger than Keegan.
Right.
It's like almost a full year younger than Keegan, and he's already feeling, 4 years into his big league career.
I'm with you on Keegan, and I think especially when you watch how these playoffs play out, like, you can envision a situation where Keegan Thompson is playing a huge role in a playoff run.
Was it Luis Garcia, what he did? It was against the Yankees, I think, right? He had, like,
that sounds right.
When he came in, like, it was an extra inning game, and he came in and pitched, like, four.
The Astros have guys that are throwing gas, but you see how they use that pitching staff, where they were leaning a ton on their bullpen and guys to throw multiple innings, kind of condensing that pitching staff. I can see Keegan doing that. I guess my feel would be if the Cubs move him, I would be comfortable with it because they're comfortable with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they've developed this guy. They see it. They know what they have asked of him and seen of him. If they felt comfortable moving on, not saying, like, they know something or, you know, have a lower opinion of him, but, like, they've seen it. So, like, if they're moving on, I would be like, okay, I mean, then they feel like the value is somewhere else, I guess. Yeah. In reading the proposal from Greg, I have a tough time giving up Morel. Like, I don't even know what I think Morel's ceiling is, but I'm
like, it's interesting about Morel because a lot of people just have kind of said that he's a utility player at best. You know, that's what he'll probably be his entire career, is just a utility guy. And I guess when people say utility guy, you're thinking of a guy who's just coming off the bench. He's not playing every single day, but man, the guy can play all over the field. Yeah. And the energy that he brings is something that you don't just find in any player. Yeah. And he could do a little bit of everything with the bat. Yeah. Like, obviously he has the power, but, you know, I personally would like to see what he does in year two. And if things go awfully wrong, then I'll sit here and say that I was wrong. We should have traded him. But, like, you got a 23-year-old guy who can play all over the field and has shown that could have power, can hit – you know, for contact. And also, like, during some of those adjustment periods, he showed that he could cut down on the strikeouts. Now, at the end of the year, I know that he struggled with that, and it was kind of alarming, and it does kind of scare me a little bit. That's the one thing about Morel that definitely does scare me. But he proved in the minors that he could cut down on the strikeouts.
Right.
I'm willing to see in year two if he can do that, especially with this team not necessarily going all in to win the World Series next year. We're just hoping that we make the playoffs, right? So I don't think that his value could be completely diminished in year two. I just don't believe that that's going to happen. Right. So, like, again, to get a 26, 27-year-old starting pitcher, you got to give up something. So to me, I don't even think that you're giving up too much or you're not giving up enough or whatever. It's more of how I feel about Morel and Keegan Thompson. I don't mind giving up the prospect. I'm just thinking, like I said before, in a way, like, you know, if Lopez is more likely to be in the middle of the rotation type guy, then just sign Senga. That way you don't have to give up anything. But if the Cubs believe that they can help him ascend to being a top of the rotation starter with the pitch lab, then okay, let's ride. Let's find out.
I just like, I feel like if you had the choice between the two, Pablo Lopez and Kodai Senga, and just throwing away trades and all that stuff, because that obviously makes a difference. But if you had the choice between the two, Pablo Lopez seems like the much safer bet. If yeah. say both are free agents, Pablo Lopez seems like much safer of a bet than Senga. But then so? You have to add in the trades and what you're giving up versus just money.
I get your.
People in Japan are saying that Senga hit 101 this year.
The potential, I think, is higher for Senga if he adjusts and it translates, right? We saw that with his numbers. No, I'm with you. The safer bet. Though, to the chat, like as they're debating Morel and Keegan and all this stuff, the one thing, like, we're hammering, spending so much time on Senga and Pablo Lopez, and even if it's DeGrom or Verlander, starters, right? The one thing I do want to highlight is the value of a guy. And again, Pablo Lopez only did it once, but his career has been trending to that point. Mm-hmm. The value of a guy that can throw 180 innings and make over 30 starts in this league at this point in time, I think some people are underestimating a little bit. I love Keegan Thompson. I just said I feel uneasy about moving Morel. Last year, the Cubs had zero guys make 30 starts, right? They had zero guys throw over, I'm looking at it now, I think 150 innings.
Stroman had like 26 right? starts. 25. Most, 25, yeah.
Like, that value is huge. That is a guy who goes out every fifth day, picks up the ball, and last year, Lopez was doing it at a 3.7 ERA clip, right? The Cubs had nobody that did that. So when we're debating the value and how much we love these guys, you got to remember, like, organizationally, if you, like, that is something the Cubs lack, is a true everyday. You want it to be Stroman, but he dealt with some injuries and, you know, COVID. So that's out of his control. I think he is one of those guys on a normal basis. But with where Kyle Hendricks is in his career, you have so many of these young guys who, even if you put Hayden Wisniewski in that rotation, right, is he going to make 30-plus starts? Is he going to be able to go out there every fifth day? Do you feel comfortable with that? You saw, like, Steele and Thompson deal with some injuries and kind of needing to be, like, slowed down a little bit. The value of a starter like that is, I think, a good bit higher than people may give credit for.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Like, that's deals because, might make you uncomfortable. Yeah. It's you're that's what you're paying for. You're paying for stability and insurance that this is one slot in this rotation that just goes out there every fifth day. We don't need that depth.
Because that was so much more commonplace a long time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that long ago. And now, like, not, you know, the pitchers are getting hurt more and more. There's more focus on, like, resting and load management kind of thing. So not everyone's making that 30 to 32 starts every season that felt so commonplace not that long ago. So
and you don't need it, but it's nice to have.
Yeah,
and like, there's a reason that I think Jed is going to pursue it. It doesn't have to be Pablo Lopez, but
somebody
that you can just plug in there and be sure of. Like, there's a
lot
of value
in
that.
That's what Jed wants, quality innings, and I think Pablo Lopez would provide that very easily.
With that said, I'm going to give you my conspiracy theory about why Ohtani's still getting traded after I tell you about how you can get a Ohtani gear at FOCO. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite teams. So get fitted out in the best sports gear around. FOCO got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles. FOCO, looking for the perfect gift for your football fan in your life. FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in our YouTube description or in the podcast info below. For all non-presale items, use promo code CHGO for 10% off. And, you know, we were talking about the tailgate a little bit earlier. When you come to the tailgate, we got bag sets, or some people call them cornhole. Greg Braggs, I was doing CHGO Bears After Dark last night. He called them beanbag boards. I was like, what are you talking about, brother? Like, what are you talking about? Anyway. We got really cool bag sets, and they're from
bag boards. I love that.
Yeah, we got really cool bag sets, and they're from Chi-Town Cornhole. Chi-Town Custom Cornhole, the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Our signature box style design can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. Our cornhole boards come with built-in drink holders recessed in on the back, LED lights that light up the hole and exterior handles for easy carrying and handcrafted scorekeepers. Veteran-owned and operated, we ship anywhere and offer local pickups. Specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event, weddings, wedding gifts, and gifts for all occasions, and especially for tailgaters and backyard barbecues, we definitely take advantage of that. Go check out their website, ChiTownCornhole.com, and make sure you follow them on Instagram at Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards. I think I've said it before, their account got hacked or something like that. So they're trying to rebuild it back up. Go follow them. They do a great job of designing them because they look sick.
The boards are awesome. And we had them out at the tailgate. Everyone's playing on them, but they just look so cool. And we have them up here somewhere. maybe we'll put them back there next show so you can see them.
Absolutely.
Next time we talk
about
them.
We have like 5 minutes left. So I'm just going to give you my theory on Ohtani really quick. Listen, his first week of the offseason. There is just no way. There's no way that front office, considering the ownership issue that got going on there, because it looks like they're going to sell, there's no way that they don't take a call for him at all. There's just absolutely no way in my mind that they'd say no, because he's got 1 year left, and if they do not, they are not going to get the value of what they could get now at the deadline. I just refuse to believe that is a thing. There is no way that they are not taking calls. I refuse to believe it. If I'm wrong, if we get the offseason and he's still on the Angels, fine. I was wrong. But I refuse to believe it. Shohei Ohtani if they're not going to trade him, then they better be extending him within the next month or two. Because if they don't, that will be one of the more biggest mistakes that franchise has ever made. And they've already made plenty of mistakes because they got him and Mike Trout and they can't make the playoffs. If they're not going to trade him, they better sign him immediately, because there's just no way that they will get the value of what he really is at the deadline next season than right now.
Can't believe we're even talking about this. Yeah. I can't believe that they can't figure out how to win with them.
Yeah.
And not only just his value as a two-way player, but he is one of the legitimate. I mean, how many are there even in baseball? He is a star. He is a sports star, right? If you ask random people that casually watch baseball, could they pick Mike Trout out of a lineup? I kind of doubt it, right? Even people that don't follow baseball, you know who Shohei Ohtani is. You know about this guy who does it all, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that they're they have to come out and say, no, we're not going to just trade him. It's crazy.
He's a percentage of the net worth of that franchise. An actual percentage point. Like
100%.
Like that's crazy to me that you're right. You can't find a way to get that done? Come on.
He's the biggest superstar in baseball right now. And to think that, how big he is in Japan, all those eyes going to whatever team he's on, that has to be a big part of whatever income they're coming. But, Cody, I want you to put, an over-under before or after. Give me a date, set it, and then tell me, are you going before or after for a Shohei Ohtani trade this offseason?
I will say that he gets traded in 2023 before the season. I don't think it happens in the next 2 months.
That's such a long window to have given yourself. It's he'll be traded by opening day. Saying.
he'll be traded in January sometime.
I just want Cody on record that if they trade, if Jed Hoyer trades for Shohei Ohtani, Cody will ride the scooter nude around Wrigley Field.
No one wants to see that, brother. No one wants to see that.
We have to offer up something crazy to the baseball gods. Yeah. We have to put some karma out there.
You'll do that slingshot.
I'd rather ride around Wrigley naked than do that slingshot. I don't even think my own significant other wants to see me do that on the scooter.
Ryan and I will bail you out of the Addison Street police station. It's fine.
AKA Luke will bail you out. But yeah.
Okay, we have a few minutes. So, two things. the Cubs, they released like coaching, their coaching staff for next season officially. Obviously, Dustin Kelly is on there, but the thing that stuck out to me was that Willie Harris is still going to be a third base coach.
Yes.
All the updates, it's on the Cubs Twitter account or social media, wherever. You can go check it out. Yeah, Ryan tweeted them out. You can go see it. I just think it's pretty interesting that Willie Harris isn't getting any interest from teams around the league. So, but I'm happy to have his vibes back at third base.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin Kelly officially hitting coach. What also stuck out to me is now the Cubs have, like, multiple assistant hitting coaches because Johnny Washington had been there last season. But now Juan Cabreja has been promoted. He's been there a long time. And he got promoted to assistant hitting coach. And Jonathan Mota is a major league coach. Now he got promoted. I mean, there's a couple fun promotions to see from guys that have been there for a long time. But – I'm not surprised that Willie Harris is still there. Like, I'm not surprised because it felt kind of White Sox or bust to me as far as if he was going to be a manager. And once that
I just
went
thought
away,
that
I kind of was like,
the likability of him around the league was something that that teams would want because I've said it before. I feel like the manager is okay. Know how to manage a bullpen and bring vibes.
Yeah,
and bring like a rah-rah, like, get my players to play for me mentality. Yeah. And I think he does that.
You'd have to teach the new third – if they had to get a new third base coach, you'd have to teach him all of those, you know, home run celebrations. Yeah. Yeah. If Patrick Wisdom is still on the team, you know, find a guy who's going to be able to jump that high in the air. There's a lot of qualifications. You know, vibes are important. As Luke Stuckmeyer would say, and I've heard him say many times, it's all about the vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering if maybe teams want to see Willie Harris maybe – in a bench coach role at some point, see how he does in there before he kind of moves up. I know he has managed in the minor leagues before. Mm-hmm. The third base coach is kind of as high as he's gotten in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's like a bench coach role in the future. I know he said that he would even like to take that next step. When I asked him about it and see what he could do there, he said he's learned a lot from Andy Green in that sense. So maybe that's just the next step that he has to take before he kind of gets – truly true interest as a manager.
When
candidate.
I think, I know
he has before, but
I don't know. It's always hard to know, like, how much exactly these guys are doing or, like, what the value is. But, like, I'm glad that the Cubs have been able to keep Andy Green, speaking of him, for this long. You know, he had the managerial experience that didn't go that well in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But everybody seems to speak very highly of him and, like, the experience he's bringing. And, like, you know, anytime these managers – they usually just cycle through a lot of the same managers, and he hasn't gotten that call. And so I'm glad the Cubs have been able to keep someone with that experience and that seems to have the reputation that he does in this group.
And it's like with Tommy Hotovy too.
Mm-hmm.
Continuity is good. He was pitching coach when Joe Maddon was still here. David Ross comes and he stays on, and now you are seeing that continuity pay dividends, I think, because you're looking at what the pitching infrastructure is doing. You hope the hitting infrastructure is starting to catch up to that, but the pitching infrastructure is working, and you can see that based on Tommy Hotovy being here for a while. Daniel Moskis obviously bringing what he brings, but then, you know, all Craig Breslow and everything going up and down. Oh, God. Craig Breslow up and down, just that whole system is starting to work wonders, and you're seeing it as those prospects move up through the system.
Yeah. Shout out to David Snyder. Cody naked, no way. Let him wear his underwear at least.
If we want Ohtani, we got to make, got to put promises out there.
Got to risk to get the biscuit.
We'll find out something. Give me a week. I'll
jumping in the ice cold lake. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to put things out into the universe that we're willing to contribute. We can't offer up any money or trade prospects. We have to, as a group, we have to do something. And I volunteered Cody. It seemed like the best. Maybe draped in a W flag.
Yeah,
like,
the W flag that you said.
Michael
that
says
you're
I have
sleeping.
To wear a Molina jersey? Hell no.
For Ohtani?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even make him do that.
You wouldn't do that for Ohtani? Come on.
No,
Cody.
Man.
Oh, I wouldn't even make
I have
him
a buddy
that.
Who's
like, there's got to be something. I mean,
want Shohei Ohtani or not.
It would live on the internet, and I can't, no. I'm sorry.
If that's okay. I thought it was like
let me think
Yadier
about
and
it.
Molina as you're scootering around Wrigley. All you have to do is wear a Yadier Molina jersey
on the show
for
an hour.
You are being kind of selfish.
Let me think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow. Last thing, absolute last thing. The Yankees are expected to offer the qualifying offer to Rizzo, which is supposed to be $19.65 million. I think because the qualifying offer is attached now, I think that kind of takes the Cubs out of it. So if anyone was almost hoping assuredly. For it, rest in peace. I was one of those people.
Me too.
It is what it is. So I just don't think Jed is going to trade for sign a guy that they have to give a draft pick back that you already traded. Doesn't sound like something that he would do.
It also seems like that leads more to, I don't know what the Yankees' plans are. They have bigger fish to fry with Aaron Judge, but that's going to tamper his market. So it kind of seems like they probably figure something out that's a longer term situation.
There may also be because you're getting the stuff. If Wilson Contreras leaves, you're getting the draft pick through the qualifying offer that way. But guys like, I want to say Trey Turner is subject to the qualifying offer. There's a couple of shortstops that they may be going after that probably are going to be subject to a qualifying offer. I don't think Correa is.
Correa is not.
He's not. I want to say Bogarts and Turner are. I could be wrong about that. I know at least one of them is.
Bogarts is.
So you may be just kind of trading draft picks through that with the Wilson and Bogarts. Now you add Rizzo in there. That's another loss of a draft pick through a qualifying offer. So I never really saw it regardless, but.
I'm putting it to bed. I was hurt again. You're welcome.
This is the nail in Cody's coffin.
I'll stop tweeting about it. Yeah. I'm done.
No more hope. Our hope is gone when it comes to Anthony.
Well, and Mervis hits a home run every 5 minutes. And he goes to a different league and just hits home runs every 5 minutes. I think he's going to be done soon for the offseason, but he'll find a way to keep hitting home runs. So.
Okay. This was fun. If you think that I took Luke's job, let us know in the chat. Or in the comments after the live chat is gone, if you tweet at us. Yeah, or tweet at us. I would love to know. You can start calling me Cody Stuckmeyer. That's totally fine. I will react to it.
Luke Stuckmendo.
Luke Del Mendo, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow with more updates. I'm sure there'll be more rumors. Mm-hmm. Corey and Brendan will be Friday. So you'll get to hear him again. So you got to hear him twice this week. Congratulations. Luke will hopefully be back tomorrow. It's just gonna be me and you.
We do have a guest tomorrow. Eugene McIntosh from the Bigs Media will be in studio with us.
Vibes.
Some people may remember that video that went a little viral on Cubs Twitter of David Ross kind of saying there's a loyalty factor in why he was playing Jason Hayward earlier this summer. That was Eugene's video. So Bigs Media. I have a little stuff to go, so that will be tomorrow. Make sure you're tuning in.
1:20. Thanks for dropping in to check out the CHGO Cubs podcast. Fly the W. See you tomorrow.